You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we return here with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code Locked On, and you'll get 20% off of your next order. And we return here. It is Mock Draft Monday here on Locked On Ravens. Another week in the books, and now we are starting another week here of the show. And we're just now grinding down the days and counting down the days until free agency begins. And it's getting closer, just over a couple weeks away until free agency begins. We have now entered March. This is March 1st. So it's just a slow grind here. And now that we're finally starting to get closer to free agency, it's now a time to go and look at some draft prospects again, obviously, because again, with the way that free agency works out, the Ravens mock drafts across all platforms, NFL mock drafts across all platforms, are going to look very different because teams are going to start to fill out needs. And some needs that teams have right now and people are slotting in first-round prospects, second-round prospects, those needs are going to be filled out by veterans. And that means that they will no longer have those needs, or teams will no longer have those needs, so they can focus their draft capital elsewhere. So it's a fine balance here between, do you sign veterans to fill holes, or do you draft rookies, stud rookies, project rookies to stack and fill holes? So with the Ravens, they will have to answer that question with positions like edge, interior offensive line, wide receiver, tight end, among some others as well. And here on Mock Draft Monday, we're going to be getting into another mock draft for the Ravens, again, with the full roster that they have right now at this very moment intact. I want to reiterate the fact that on these Mock Draft Mondays, I use the roster at the specific date I do them. So right now, Orlando Brown Jr. is still on the Ravens roster. So I am not taking into account any Orlando Brown Jr. trade. I still talk about mock drafts that take into account that Orlando Brown Jr. trade when we get into our Twitter mock drafts, because it's fun to look at those trades and look at the potential scenarios there based off of draft capital the Ravens get and whatnot. But for my mock draft Sundays that I do and talk about here on this show on Mondays, I do it with the current Ravens roster at that date in my mind. So here in this first segment, we'll be getting into my mock draft Sunday that I did for this week. And I'll preface it by saying that this is the opt-out draft, because there were quite a few players in this one, quite a few top prospects in this one, who opted out of the 2020 college football season. So the Ravens will be taking some chances on whether guys grew in their year off, how they prepared for the draft, but banking on the college production and the college tape that they showed in prior years. So we'll talk about that in the first segment. Then in the second and third segments, we had another phenomenal response to the Mock Draft Sunday. I put anybody who wanted to comment their mock draft below on the tweet I put out on the Locked On Ravens account, or message me on Instagram and message me their mock drafts from there. A phenomenal response. We have a ton to get into throughout the entire week. We're going to be getting into as many as we can here today. And then the ones we don't get to, as has been the case over these last couple weeks, we'll be diving into them throughout the rest of the week. So again, we'll be getting into my mock draft that I did for Mock Draft Sunday here in this first segment, and then for our second and third segments, we'll be talking about mock drafts that we receive via Twitter. So let's get into this Mock Draft Monday. But before you do that, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere there's a podcast. We're there waiting Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Ravens and my personal account at KOstreicher34. So with all that being said, let's jump right into it here. Starting off with my mock draft that I did for Mock Draft Sunday that I put onto Twitter. And I think that I had a pretty good draft here. Now, for the sake of being different, I didn't draft a bunch of the same players that I've drafted before, because I do want to talk about a bunch of different prospects on this show. So, for example, the safety I took in the second round, there was Javon Mohrig on the board. And honestly, whether I took this safety or Javon Mohrig, both very talented players, but I decided to take the other safety just due to the fact that I could talk about him on the show and give a bit of a different perspective. So, with that being said, with pick 27, I selected Gregory Rousseau, the edge out of Miami. And Gregory Rousseau is one of the most controversial prospects in the entire NFL draft due to the fact that, one, he did opt out of the 2020 season, but two, the production that he showed in his sophomore season, some people really, really like him and think he's a top-tier pass rusher, middle of the first round guy. Others don't think he's anything but a third-round prospect. So there is a really mixed bag of reviews here on Greg Rousseau, and for me, I think Rousseau is a phenomenal talent. His only good season came in 2019, his second season with Miami, and he had 54 total tackles, 19.5 tackles for loss, and 15.5 sacks. He is an absolute force. He's 6'7", 265 pounds, and Calais Campbell, the current Ravens defensive end, who also went to the University of Miami, gave high praise to Gregory Rousseau and said, this guy is going to be a beast for whatever team gets him. And, I mean, Rousseau, he's a freak. He's an absolute freak. He's someone who the production was off the charts. I mentioned those 15.5 sacks, 19.5 tackles for loss. But for him, he has so much more potential to grow. And that's because in high school, he played safety and wide receiver. He's very new to the defensive line. So with Rousseau, that's something else that teams are worried about is, all right, he had this one great season at Miami, but is he really a star defensive end? Is he really a star edge player? Or is he just this guy who had a really nice season and he's going to fall back down to earth? Teams couldn't see that in 2020 because he did not play in 2020. So his game is a bit underdeveloped, but with his frame and with the ability that he has, the physical traits that he has, he is one of the, I think, most well-rounded people in terms of just being able to coach him up, right? He has all these intangibles. He has all these traits. Can he get into the right organization? Can he get into the right system where the coaches can coach him up, where his skill set can be utilized? I think the Ravens could utilize his skill set in a phenomenal way. So he has to be able to get better at a couple of things. I know that, again, being on the defensive line is a lot different than being a safety or being a wide receiver. So being able to process a bit better, being able to utilize his strength better, because again, he has it, just how does he use his strength? So again, he is someone who has every single intangible that anybody would want in an edge player and a defensive end. You can probably move him around that defensive line, but he just has to be able to be patient, and the team that drafts him has to be able to be patient, because this isn't somebody who I think has to sit behind anyone for a year and learn and whatnot. Now, having guys like Calais Campbell and Brandon Williams and even Derek Wolfe, if he returns, that's a phenomenal asset. But it's not like the Ravens would have to redshirt him or anything. The Ravens could put him in situations where his skill set could be utilized, have him get that on-field experience and contribute to what I think the Super Bowl window is for Baltimore. At least the best chance for that Super Bowl window right now is when Lamar Jackson is still on his rookie contract and not taking up a ton of the cap. So you're able to have guys like Calais Campbell and Brandon Williams. But then what happens when Lamar Jackson gets signed and all of a sudden Calais Campbell and Brandon Williams retire? You need that next generation, not just on the defensive line, but in the edge group as well. And for Greg Rousseau, I mentioned, I think he could play both edge and defensive end. So how are you going to be able to develop him? I think the Ravens could develop him in a great way. And I think that this is a great value pick for Baltimore here at pick number 27. And then at pick 58, I mentioned the safety who was on the board as well as Javon Moehrig, but I took that safety instead. Javon Holland was my selection, the safety out of Oregon. And Javon Holland is a versatile player. He is a leader. He was a leader in the back half of that Oregon secondary. He's 6'1", 196. He's someone who's able to play safety. He can play in the slot a bit as well. And he's someone who can really fit into any system. And he's able to do a lot of different things really well. But that versatility is something that I know Baltimore loves. And I think that he would be a phenomenal asset on this defense. He has coverage upside as well. It's not just like he's fully developed and he's a great player now and he's never going to be anything better. Holland is a great player now, but he has the ability to grow. In his years at Oregon, again, someone who opted out of the 2020 season, but during his freshman and sophomore seasons accumulated 108 tackles for loss. He had 9 interceptions, 5 in his freshman year and 4 in his sophomore year. 10 passes defended. He had a touchdown. I mean, he is someone who is literally all over the field, great ball skills, and someone who I think could be utilized in a ton of different ways on this Ravens defense. And again, I've talked about the 3 safety looks that Baltimore could employ next year with whatever safety they draft. So in this case, Javon Holland and Deshaun Elliott and Chuck Clark. Holland gives them so much versatility and so many different ways to utilize him on the field, just like I think Deshaun Elliott does now that he learned a bit about how to play free safety. So with the Ravens, Javon Holland to me is a pick that I really like. And then another pick that I really like is my next selection, where at pick 104, I selected Ben Cleveland, the interior offensive lineman out of Georgia. Now, Cleveland is a 354-pound mauler. He's 6'6". He played right guard for Georgia. And it's not like he's going to necessarily blow you away with his athleticism, but he does have some decent agility. He does have some decent quickness, but he is nasty. You kind of look at Ben Powers and his reputation before being drafted, his famous quote about seeing the soul leave his defender's eyes when he blocks him. That's kind of what Cleveland is. He is a nasty interior offensive lineman. He has some good technique as well. He's very sound in his technique. He's able to get his hands in a nice place, good hand placement for him. And also just being able to finish his blocks and climb to the next level. And also in pass protection too. That was just in his run sets where he's able to get to the next level a bit. But in his pass protection, he's very sturdy. He has a very strong base and he's very hard to just overpower with sheer strength. So he's a very solid guy on the interior. You could play him at left guard if you wanted. If you don't think Bradley Bozeman is the answer, you could play him at right guard. If you don't think Ben Powers is the answer, if you just want to see what those two are, though, and Bozeman and Powers, you could just put Ben Cleveland on the bench for a year if someone struggles, if someone gets hurt. You have a nice plug-and-play option, but you also have someone who can come in immediately and contribute. So someone who is a smart player, a smart football player, and someone who would fit in a power run scheme like the Ravens have, I think is a great fit for this offense. And then talking about another great fit for this offense, I picked Sage Surratt, the wide receiver out of Wake Forest, at pick number 131. And Surratt is another guy who opted out of the 2020 football season, but during his few years at Wake Forest, two to be exact, he put up 1,582 yards and 15 touchdowns, including a breakout sophomore season in 2019, where he put up 66 receptions for 1,001 yards and 11 scores. So Surratt is a big play guy. He's listed at 6'2.5", about 215 pounds. And he's someone who is a smart football player. He, again, put up those big numbers, and he's physical. The Ravens need a physical receiver, and I think Surratt fits that mold really tremendously. He wins contested catch situations. He's a guy who can create leverage against smaller defenders and also against bigger ones as well. But he's not the best athlete. He's not going to wow you with his athletic traits at all. That's where some teams kind of shy away from him, because he's not someone who's going to wow you after the catch. He's not someone who's going to break away from you with his speed, but the Ravens don't really need that. So for a team like the Ravens, who needs that big body receiver who plays to his height, he can win down the field and he can beat corners with his array of moves, but isn't necessarily going to break away from anybody or do anything crazy in the open field. I think that the Ravens could use a guy like Surratt. So for the Ravens, he's someone who could also fill in the slot at times if they want to use him as a big slot receiver, but he fills in outside as that X receiver. That's what the Ravens need. That's the profile the Ravens should be looking for, and I think Surratt is a phenomenal fit there. And then at pick number 169, I selected Shaka Toney, the edge rusher out of Penn State, and boy, can this guy rush the passer. During his 4 years at Penn State, put up 28.5 tackles for loss, 20 sacks. He never had a season at Penn State under 3.5 sacks, and in his final 3 years at Penn State, didn't have a season under 5 sacks. He had 3.5 sacks his freshman year, 5 sacks his sophomore year. He had 6.5 sacks in 2019, and then 5 in 2020. So he's an all-around do-it-all player. He does have some room to grow in the run game. He isn't the best edge setter in the world and isn't someone who's going to wow you in terms of getting a ball carrier down, but he has a motor, that effort, which the Ravens love in all their players, good quickness off the ball, good release when the ball is snapped, and then also is a bit light. He's 6'3", 238 pounds, so the Ravens, they could maybe ask him to put on a few pounds, but then what happens to his dynamic quickness? Does that get lost in the extra weight? Do they say, all right, you're good the way you are, but does he lose some of his leverage and his stunt moves and his power moves when he doesn't have that extra weight on, so offensive linemen can overpower him and render him useless on certain plays? So that's where the Ravens would have to balance it out, but the Ravens do have a need for that designated pass rush specialist, and I think Toney fills that need tremendously, and someone who I think they could definitely take a flyer on in the later rounds. And then at 184, I picked Yomodor Lenoir, the cornerback out of Oregon. So with Javon Holland and now with Lenoir, I think the Ravens could be building an Oregon Ducks defensive backfield here. Now, Lenoir is someone who I selected in my first mock draft Monday, and is someone who I could not pass up again here at 184, just based off of need, his ability to play both inside and outside. He is a leader. He is a smart, high football IQ player. He's a willing tackler in the run game, and he also has good fluid hips and good form when he covers. So Lenoir is someone who I think could be a phenomenal fit. And then finally, with my last pick, I selected Brendan James, the offensive tackle out of Nebraska. Someone who, again, fits the Ravens' scheme and I think could be a great asset to this offensive line. He could sit for a year behind Orlando Brown. And then if Brown decides to leave, which at this point, if the Ravens don't trade him, is pretty likely, he could fill in after having that red shirt year. He has good athleticism. He has some nice quickness and some good body control. He's strong. He's able to get to the next level. And again, I think that being able to play him at right tackle, help him learn at right tackle, because he did play left tackle at Nebraska, I think that James could be a great fit for this Ravens offense and maybe a successor to Orlando Brown Jr. So overall, I really like this mock draft that I did. And if the Ravens nab a couple of these guys in the draft, because I know that none of my mock drafts will be 100% accurate, they will be getting a ton of great NFL prospects who have a ton of potential to get even better. We're going to head into our first break now, but when we return, we'll be getting into some mock drafts that we received from Twitter, so stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. There are real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And we return here with our second segment of this Mock Draft Monday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher, your host, still hanging out with you here. And we're now going to get into the mock drafts that we received from Twitter. But we're actually going to start off with one that we received from Instagram from Cody Rollins, who has the Ravens taking Elijah Vera Tucker at pick 27, the interior offensive lineman out of USC, who also played some tackle there as well. Trevon Moehrig, the safety out of TCU, was the pick at pick number 58. Ben Cleveland was the selection of pick 122. Daz Newsome, the wide receiver out of North Carolina, was a selection at 152. And 186, Joshua Kindo, the edge out of Florida State, was the pick. So this is a good mock draft, in my opinion. Now, I don't know where some of the Ravens picks went in this one, like 104 and 131. I'm assuming that they might have been traded for some draft capital in other years. But regardless, the five players here are all phenomenal selections, in my opinion. And, I mean, it starts off with the combination, or at least the three of Elijah Vera Tucker, Trevon Moehrig, and Ben Cleveland. Those three here, I think each in a position of need for the Ravens. And I guess we can talk about if the Orlando Brown Jr. trade does happen and the Ravens need a guy to fill in at tackle, at right tackle. Elijah Vera Tucker, to me, is a guy who could fill in immediately and seamlessly at that position. And then also getting Ben Cleveland, who I talked about in the first segment, is a phenomenal pick. Just two really sound offensive linemen, both very high football IQs, both versatile. I mean, that's really when the Ravens talked about reshaping their offensive line. That's really what I imagine them doing, going and drafting some guys who can play multiple positions, as well as signing guys in free agency as well. And then we talked about Trevon Moehrig last week, just an absolute phenomenal stud guy, can move all over the field, play a bunch of different positions, has great instincts, very physical, a ball hawk as well. So I think that those three are great selections, and followed up with Daz Newsome and Joshua Kindo, two guys who are, I think, flying a bit under the radar right now, and that's really what the draft is, right? Picking guys who you know are studs and have those stud traits and can develop into really nice football players, but they're already there and can contribute immediately. And then you also have the guys who are flying under the radar, who you can develop into some traits and into some skills that they might have a bit of right now, but in the future, it's those developmental prospects who can turn into those studs and even surprise you a bit during their rookie season. So the five picks here in Vera Tucker, Moehrig, Cleveland, Newsome, and Kindo, I think are all great picks. They fill needs for the Ravens. They get guys who I think can contribute immediately, but also they're not just set at their floors and their ceilings aren't just, you know, they're right there now and they're only going to develop a bit more and that's that. These guys, again, as I mentioned with my mock draft Sunday, have the room and have the potential to grow a phenomenal amount. So drafting these five players, I think, would be a win for the Ravens. I do know that me talking about drafting wide receivers for the Ravens, it's a bit of an iffy subject for me. I've come around to it a bit, and that's part of this draft process too. It's just growing into needs. Needs become bigger in draft scenarios, and then needs become smaller in other certain draft scenarios. Again, free agency has a very big thing to do with that. For example, if the Ravens go out and sign an Allen Robinson or a Kenny Galladay, a Chris Godwin, or even a guy like Corey Davis, I don't expect them to draft a wide receiver in the first two rounds because then you're just getting redundant with your picks, and where's the playing time going to come for all these guys? So overall, a very sound mock draft from Cody here. I'm very impressed with it, and the guys that he was able to snag really helped the Ravens in multiple different areas. Our next mock draft here comes from L. Jeffrey, who says, trade out of the first round, get Lamar more options and protection, add depth on both sides, Zeus Jr. stays another year in Baltimore due to no attractive trades. So, first off, he did trade out of the first round here. He traded pick number 27 to the New York Jets and received picks 34 and 86, and then he traded pick 34 and received picks 45 and 106. And at pick 45, he took Terrace Marshall Jr., the wide receiver out of LSU. At 58, he selected Tay Gowan, the corner out of UCF. At 86, he picked Jamien Sherwood, the safety out of Auburn. At 104, Deontay Brown, guard out of Alabama, was the selection. At 106, Amon-Ra St. Brown, the wide receiver out of USC. At 136, Joshua Kindo, the edge out of Florida State. To get 136, he traded pick 131 and received 136 and 180. At pick 169, Brendan James was the selection, the tackle out of Nebraska we talked about in the first segment. At 180, Adetokunbo Ogundeji, the edge out of Notre Dame. At 184, Tony Pulgeon, the tight end out of Virginia. And at 211, Tony Fields II, a linebacker out of West Virginia. So my first thought here is this is a lot of players. I'm not necessarily saying this is a bad mock draft at all. I think it's actually a good one, but I think there are a lot of players here. And for the Ravens, they're going to have a tough time getting the picks that they have right now, just the seven picks that they have right now on the roster. So I don't necessarily think drafting 10 guys is necessarily a good thing here. I think if you were able to package a couple of the late rounders, for example, maybe the 180, 184, and 211, and you can move up to in the 140s and then take a guy there, I think that that could be something that works out. But I like the Terrace Marshall pick. I think that's great value at 45. And again, I'm not a huge fan of taking a wide receiver in the first two rounds, but Marshall, in my opinion, is a first-round wide receiver. Tay Gowan is an interesting prospect. He's very unrefined, but does have some nice technique traits. I know on some different mock draft simulators, he's ranked a lot higher than in others. I know, I think the Draft Network has him as a 7th-round prospect. And then on this mock draft simulator, which was Pro Football Focus's, he obviously was rated in the 2nd, 3rd round. I think Deontay Brown and Amon-Ra St. Brown are two phenomenal selections back-to-back at 104 and 106. And we just talked about Joshua Kindo and how he is an under-the-radar selection there. But the combination of Marshall Jr., Brown, and St. Brown are three very interesting selections. Again, I don't think the Ravens are taking two wide receivers in this draft, so maybe taking an interior offensive lineman in place of Marshall Jr. or St. Brown is a better option, in my opinion. Taking maybe a center because Deontay Brown is a good interior guy, or maybe even taking another edge guy there before Joshua Kindo at 136. And then again, as I mentioned, maybe trading 180, 184, and 211. But I do like the overall value that a lot of these players have in this mock draft, and I think if the Ravens were to go this route, it gets them a ton of depth pieces, a ton of different players who can do a lot of different things and just are able to fill in where Baltimore needs, because you can never predict injuries in the NFL. And if you have guys that you like who can fill in for those injured players, I think that makes it a lot better than going and signing guys off of the street, for example, which Baltimore had to do a lot last season. And even dating back 2 seasons ago, that strategy works out sometimes, but I know having young guys who you can just fill in there who you like and you like their intangibles and you like their football IQ, I think that's a lot better for an organization. So I do like this mock draft, a lot of value in it, but maybe a few too many selections here. Maybe packaging some of those later end picks and moving up is a better option for me. Our last mock draft here before we head into our final break comes from Fox Mulder, and he says, not sure why Aziz was such a low grade. I thought getting him at 35 was a steal. So to get pick 35, Fox Mulder traded pick 27 and received picks 35 and 68. He then took Aziz Ojulari, the edge out of Georgia, at pick 35. Then Creed Humphrey, the center out of Oklahoma, was the selection. Tyler Shelvin, the defensive lineman out of LSU, was the selection at 58. Quincy Roche, the edge player out of Miami, was at 104. At 131, Richard LeCount, the safety out of Georgia, was the selection. At 169, Brandon James, the tackle out of Nebraska, was that selection there. Tamarian Terry, the wide receiver out of Florida State, was the pick at 184. And finally, at 211, the pick was Jack Anderson, a guard out of Texas Tech. And I have to say, this draft impresses me a lot. Trading out of the first round is something that the Ravens have done a few times over the last couple of years, and really dating over the last decade. Aziz Ojulari at pick 35 is, I think, great value, and then follow that up with Creed Humphrey. Another phenomenal selection there. Two impact players immediately in this draft. Tyler Shelvin, I've been talking about how the interior defensive line is a rather underrated need for this team, with the trio of Brandon Williams, Calais Campbell, and Derek Wolfe, if Wolfe returns, being over the age of 30. So getting that next generation, I think Shelvin fits right in there. Quincy Roche is the steal of the century here at 104. Richard LeCount is a very underrated prospect. Brandon James, again, I talked about him in the first segment. I like what he brings. And then Tamarian Terry and Jack Anderson are two under-the-radar selections that I think could really show their value there in the later round. So I think this is a great mock draft. Honestly, I don't have a ton to say about it because I think it's really, really good. I think that, again, the two value picks of Ojulari and Humphrey are phenomenal. Getting Shelvin and Roche back-to-back, I think, is great too. And this is a draft where the Ravens do prioritize defense a bit more than offense in the earlier rounds. Only one of the first five picks is on offense, but again, this is best player available to a degree. I mean, the Ravens do have holes at defense to fill. They also have holes on offense, but I would expect the Ravens to maybe go and fill those holes, or at least most of them, through free agency. I know that interior offensive line could be filled through the draft, and here at 58, Creed Humphrey is the selection there. So I think this is a phenomenal draft here. You get value for trading out of the first round. You have two prospects who can make immediate impacts, and even a couple more with Roche, and I think Shelvin can do it too. So overall, a very nice draft here from Fox Mulder. I'm honestly very impressed with this one. We're going to head into our final break here, but when we return, we'll be getting into some more mock drafts that we received from Twitter, so stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. The improved Built Bar is even more delicious, with 6 new flavors, including caramel, brownie, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Built Bars are healthy, they're great for the health conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. So be sure to go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off of your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. And we return here with our final segment of this Monday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher, your host, still hanging out with you here. And we're not going to get into a couple more mock drafts that we received from Twitter here in this final segment. And again, if your mock draft isn't right out here today, we will be getting to it throughout the rest of the week on Locked On Ravens. So be sure to stay tuned for that. But we're going to start off here with Brendan Ward, who says, accounting for Orlando Brown Jr. being gone, needs to make the offensive line a strength again, reload the edge, and some late round high upside picks. So at pick 27, he selects Rashawn Slater, the tackle out of Northwestern. Then at 58, Elijah Vera Tucker, the tackle from USC, was the selection. At 104, Joe Tryon, the edge out of Washington, is the pick. At 131, Quinn Miners, the center out of Wisconsin Whitewater. At 169, the pick is Joshua Kindo, the edge out of Florida State. At 184, Shai Smith, the wide receiver out of South Carolina. And finally, Tariq Thompson, the safety out of San Diego State, is the selection at 211. And so yes, there is offensive line galore here with picks, Slater, Vera Tucker, and Quinn Miners. Now, Vera Tucker can play both inside and outside. People project him on the outside in the NFL, but he certainly can play inside, as he has had experience playing on the inside. Rashawn Slater, I think, is a great prospect as well. And then Quinn Miners, one of the Senior Bowl week studs, is coming to Baltimore in this mock draft as well. So reloading on the offensive line here was definitely a priority. Then you have the edge combo of Joe Tryon and Joshua Kindo, who Kindo seems to be a popular pick here in these mock drafts that we've talked about today. And then the high upside in Shai Smith and Tariq Thompson. So again, this is a very need-based draft. I definitely like the direction this is going in. I don't know if I'd necessarily take three offensive linemen. I do agree that even without Orlando Brown Jr. being gone, in this case he is, but without Orlando Brown Jr. being gone, the Ravens have to make the offensive line a priority. And so taking three really high upside prospects who are already really solid is a really good option for this team. But maybe taking a safety a bit higher than Tariq Thompson. Or maybe taking a slot corner instead of Shai Smith. Doing something along those lines, or even taking an edge player maybe a little higher up than 104. I mean, anything is possible here. Taking three offensive linemen, I don't think is the worst thing this team can do. I think stacking talent on top of talent is great. But then who gets cut from the current roster now? Because the Ravens invested two picks in the offensive line last season. Unless they really don't like one of them, I don't think that either of those guys aren't going to make it. Even Tristan Colon-Castillo is probably going to make this roster next season. So where do the guys get cut to make room for three offensive linemen? That's what I'm looking at. So maybe taking, again, a safety a bit higher up than 211. Maybe I do that instead of taking Slater in the first round or taking Vera Tucker in the second, maybe moving up and taking an edge or maybe a good wide receiver if he's there. I don't know, but I do not hate the idea of the Ravens taking three offensive linemen. I would just need to know where the cuts are made from the roster now in order to support having these guys and having spent this draft capital on so many offensive linemen. That's what I'd want to know, at least. So again, a nice mock draft here. I don't hate it at all. I just am looking towards the future of at least getting down to 53 men and saying who is going to get cut to make room for these prospects. Our final mock draft we're looking at today comes from Tyler O, and he says, think J.C. Horn at 34 was too good to pass up, even if PFF think it's a meh pick. Whether or not we have Zeus Jr., I think Mayfield can be a great replacement for him when we do eventually lose him. So, at pick 34, the Ravens take J.C. Horn, the corner out of South Carolina, and to get pick 34, Tyler traded pick 27 to the New York Jets and received picks 34 and 86. Then at 58, Terrace Marshall Jr. was the selection, the wide receiver out of LSU. At 86, Jalen Mayfield, the tackle out of Michigan. At 104, Hamza Nasruddin, the safety out of Florida, was the pick. At 147, Amari Rodgers, the wide receiver out of Clemson, was the pick. And to get 147, Tyler traded pick 131 and received picks 147 and 188. At 169, Malik Herring, the edge out of Georgia, was the pick. At 184, Sedarius Hutcherson, the guard out of South Carolina, was the selection. At 188, Tommy Kramer, the guard out of Notre Dame, was the pick. And finally, Quentin Bohanna, the defensive lineman out of Kentucky, was the selection at 211. And kind of like what I said a bit earlier in the show, this is nine prospects right here. And even dating back to the last mock draft we looked at, I don't necessarily know if having nine prospects is necessarily the best thing for this Ravens team, just based off of the fact that I don't think they can fit nine prospects on the roster. So maybe taking those last three picks in 184, 188, and 211 and moving up in the draft to maybe the 160s or the 150s and taking a guy there. I'm not doubting the picks of Hutcherson, Kramer, or Bohanna. I'm just saying that maybe this team doesn't have enough room on the roster for those guys. But the three of J.C. Horn, Terrace Marshall, and Jalen Mayfield are, I mean, that's a phenomenal top three if you're looking at a mock draft for the Ravens. J.C. Horn would be unfair in this Ravens defense. You could argue he's a Jimmy Smith replacement. I don't know where he fits into the roster this year, but that's a problem for Don Martindale to have. And really, it's a good problem to have if you're Don Martindale. Terrace Marshall in the second round at 58, that's a great value. And Jalen Mayfield is someone who I think the Ravens could consider even in the first round. So getting him at 86, that's a phenomenal selection there. And then again, this draft has a bunch of good need-based picks. Picking a safety at 104, I think, is a good selection. Amari Rodgers, the son of new Ravens wide receiver coach T. Martin, is a selection here at 147. Obviously, that link is really strong. And then Malik Herring, an edge out of Georgia, who everybody's talking about Aziz Ojulari, who's the other edge out of Georgia, but Herring quietly put up some nice numbers himself. So I think, again, really strong top three, some nice depth picks at the end here. But my point is also that the Ravens might not have enough room to take 9 guys from this draft and put them on their roster for 2021. So maybe trading up a couple of those last picks for maybe a pick in the later 5th round or really, really late 4th round, I think could be a good option for the Ravens. That's all that I have for you today. When we get back here tomorrow, it's more Ravens talk from us. So stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.